Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. I am Amin Elhassan. That is Black Trey. That is Jay Skills. That is Big Jerv. Juju Gotti will be joining us in just a second. We got a great show for y'all. I mean, basically, the Jrue Holiday deal happened. So that's what everybody around the world is talking about. Guess what? It happened before we started recording. So we get to be on time for once. Rather than talk about sports a week late, we're talking about it as it happens. So shout out to all that. We're going to update you guys on the Fantasy Football League rankings. We're going to talk about how do you handle the good morning text. It's a very diverse array of opinions. You don't want to miss this. And you'll learn something, I think. But first, patreon.com/countthedings is a website where you go become a Patreon. You get access to all the extra content. I'm going to just say this right now. I always say, oh, you have the watch-alongs that we do for Cinephobe, the Cinephobe special edition episodes that we've done over the years, and the Discord and all this stuff. But man, let me tell you right now, at some point coming up here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have ourselves one hell of an OG podcast episode that's going to be for our Patreons. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be uplifting. It's going to be positive. If you've been a longtime fan of this show, all of our shows, you don't want to miss it. So definitely stay locked in. Become a Patreon today because you don't want to miss it when it drops. All right. I guess this is the show started.
Before we get off the pod, I really want to talk about
We're not getting off the pod, too, because I got to say some shit. Go ahead.
I want to talk about the Tupac shit. I feel like we got to address this.
Yes.
Like, as a Black Opinion show, this is some nigga shit to the highest level of niggatry.
Indeed.
Yeah. So this man, Keith D, has been...
Keefy D has
been going on Vlad TV, other various documentaries and interviews for well over a decade, talking about he was in the car with Baby Lane, Orlando Anderson, when Tupac was murdered, telling anybody who will listen and record, and he got arrested for the murder of Tupac this week. He is implicated Sean P. Diddy Combs as the guy who ordered the hit, and things are getting interesting. There's no statute of limitations on you being a party to a murder.
Yeah, like, yeah, you can't. That's,
just so everybody knows.
I learned that from The Wire, my man.
Yeah, like, there's no 7 years. Exactly. It's not no 7 years, no 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know who advised that nigga that told him he was good. He is an idiot. No, listen, that nigga, I don't know what he was thinking. I had secondhand embarrassment from nigga being from Compton. I'm just like, bro, what did you think was gonna happen, bro? You got a book out. You done did plenty. And niggas mad at Vlad. I'm not even mad at Vlad because you don't have to answer the question, nigga. You don't. You go on.
Why do people continue to answer the question, though, with him?
Because like,
is it something?
No, it's just street fame, bro. Niggas want to be popular. They see themselves on camera and they want to do it.
Keep going there when they
and Vlad pay him, though. That's the thing. The reason why niggas go on, you get paid on Vlad's interviews, right? But at the end of the day, you don't have to answer the question. You've seen Pee Wee Longway do this shit perfectly. He put a masterclass of how to do a Vlad interview. Vlad didn't never bring him back after that, but it was still a classic interview. But this nigga went on not once, not twice, couple times tripling down on his story. They gonna when they had that trial.
That's an open and shut case, bro. You just already gave a deposition. Like,
and the other three niggas that was in that car, they're dead and gone. They've been gone for roughly 20 years. Nigga, you could have let this lie. You could have just let niggas who really know happen. And you just could have been scot-free. You're not smart. That's low IQ. That is low IQ.
Super low IQ.
I seen one meme say they found the killer, the suspect, murder suspect for Tupac, and the Clippers still haven't won a championship. That was rude.
Yeah.
That was fucking rude.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Before we get out of here, I wanted to get a little personal. I wanted to open up a little bit. In certain terms, let's talk about layoffs, right? I announced my... the end of my contract with the Athletic. Shout out to the Athletic. Right. I had 4 great years, started in 2019, was thinking I would have my 5th year, then went in a different direction. Still shout out to them, support them, do what you do. But I cannot pretend and act like everything is gravy. That would be inhuman and not realistic. I've had tons of emotions because basketball season is starting up. And I want to talk about basketball really bad. I get to talk about basketball with y'all, but just to a very analyst and access way. So how have you handled a layoff in the past?
It's happened a couple times for me. I mean,
nigga,
nigga chimed in and was like, Jello boy.
I don't know what to say. Like, when it happens, it just be like, fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, not fuck them. Like, it's whatever. Like, you know what I mean? It makes sense. But, like, fuck it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm going to be all right. I know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm nice.
I think that's easier said than done, though, Jerv, to be honest. Right. Like, in the particular moment, if somebody asks, hey, I'm just checking on you, how are you doing? Most niggas be like, I'm good, I'm straight, blah, blah, blah. And that's not how I want to present this. I recently just wrote a short film about fucking layoffs and Black people and therapy, right? The connection in that. And in movies and however we've seen it, if I asked anybody, we've all on this panel have been laid off before. And it is true. You do get back on your feet, but there's a time frame. Sometimes there's a lot of time where you're like, nigga, that shit didn't happen as soon as I thought it would.
Right. Yeah. I'll give it like my experience because I don't know how everybody else deal with it, but that shit is not the shit to me. Like I never even wanted to have a regular job. You know what I'm saying? I was a director. I was doing my shit for years before I even had a regular job. I had my first job at like 26. And so, yeah, when I got laid off, like the multiple times, nigga, I'm the spiral nigga. Like I'm hot at the employer. I'm hot at the coworkers. I'm like, fuck everybody. Fuck them. I hope that place rots. You know what I'm saying? And in one instance, that shit did get tore down. Like that shit don't exist no more. And it was a big ass company. Yeah, I don't want to see them motherfuckers in the grocery store. Fuck you. Fuck you. And then niggas be taking
like severance. Scarface. They get like yeah. Scarface and goddamn half baked.
Exactly. And then and then I be taking the severance and just doing too much, buying shoes, traveling, just like then and they, like you know what I'm saying. I spiral. That's like severance. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like you know what I'm saying. I get that them few bands or whatever that they got for a nigga, and I just be like, yeah, I'm about to live it up. Like fuck it. You know what I'm saying? I don't even be immediately looking for another job. I'd be like, man, fuck that shit. I'm gonna do this, this, and that. And like, yeah, like getting laid off just is a mentally, it's not a great thing for me personally. So I don't even think I'm gonna have a regular job again, basically just off of that. Cause it's like, I don't want an opportunity for a nigga to fire me. Like, fuck that, nigga.
That was just too traumatic.
Let me clarify. I meant for myself at this point, as many different ways and as many different times as this fucking happened, at this point, it's just like, I'm so fucking used to it. I mean, I like any way that you can possibly imagine it happening, I've had, you know,
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That might be the pause of the year, bro. Yeah. On the pod. That was crazy.
Oh my God.
I'm good.
I mean, how since we both were in media and you left ESPN, was that process for you?
I'm lucky in that every time I left somewhere, like I was already done with it anyway, right? So like mm-hmm. ESPN, I left with like 8 months left on my deal, and I didn't know what was gonna happen next. I was like, all right, we'll see what happens. Shit just has a way of working out. When I left the Suns was probably the time with the most uncertainty. But again, like I was like, I reached that point where I was sick of them niggas and they were sick of me. So it was just like, it wasn't a shock or whatever, but I didn't have anything lined up afterwards. And I had started early. I'd started probably my contract ended in June 30th, 2012. And I want to say in like February, I was out here like calling people. So maybe even earlier than that, maybe it was January. Cause I remember one of the things that I thought was going to be my off ramp was my alma mater, the high school I graduated from, was hiring an athletic director. And I was like, boom, this is perfect. Like, I'll move back to New York. It's a really good school. I'll put my kid in that school. And like, you know, I wrote it, you know, when I applied, I said, look, man, I know what these jobs are about for schools. Like, it's about fundraising. I said, I got you. I'll get you Steve Nash autograph shit, Shaq, Grant Hill. Like, I'll have these people show up when they in town. Like, I was pushing hard and I was like, yo, I'm an alum of this school and I think it would be perfect. Like, you know, it's full circle for me to come and give back. And this school has done so much for me. And mind you, I hated this school. I couldn't fucking stand it. I haven't been back since I left. But like I bullshitted every fucking thing about like this is full, and you know, to have my child go to the same school that I went to would be such an honor, blah blah blah. And then like I didn't get called in for an in-person interview. Nigga, I was so angry. You talk about spiraling. I was like, man, fuck y'all. And then I shitted all over that shit. But yeah, man, like I don't, for me, I'm big on like just making sure, first of all, whatever job you're doing, behaving as though you're not going to have this job forever.
Yeah.
Like that, my whole life is just like, this shit is going to end at some point. When it ends, what am I walking away with? Mm-hmm. Like knowledge, connections, whatever it is. The cash register, no. like what can I walk away from this that's going to set me up for my next act, right? And so for me leaving ESPN, for example, even though I left, I didn't get laid off, but it was like, I got everything I wanted. Like, I could say, oh man, they didn't do shit for me, but that's not true, man. Like, I wouldn't be where I was today if it wasn't for ESPN. Not just in terms of like people know who I am, or whatever, but like Rachel Nichols and Dan Lebatard and Jemele Hill and Bomani Jones and Dominique Foxworth and Pablo, like all I know these motherfuckers because I worked there. That's the only reason. If I didn't work there, the chances are I wouldn't have known any of them. So to me, that like, if you get laid off, like the first thing you got to think to yourself is like, okay, what did I walk away with? What did I walk away with? Like connection wise and all that. And number two, man, just like, I kind of really believe that if you're a good, decent person, you're hardworking, shit works out. Maybe not immediately, but somehow it works out.
Yeah. I knew prior to, right? So it wasn't like a shock. Right. You know what I mean? And I've been here 4 years. So my thing is, it's kind of like, clearly you like the safety net. You love the safety net. It's like, cool, I know it's coming, blah, blah, blah. But in this particular situation, like you said, when you're in a particular, if you do good work and people actually like you and do all these other things, you're going to build the network. You got the idea to like be in a situation to have options. And I think the weird standpoint for me in this situation is, do I actually want to go work for somebody again, or do I want to build it myself? And I'm hearing motherfuckers that really respect me in this space that were up there like, dog, you got the most access ever. Just do this shit on your own. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's also in like, you know, media day's tomorrow. Do I want to get up and go to media day tomorrow? Do I want to work and cover 82 games? Do I want to do playoffs? Do I want to do summer league? This is my first break in 4 years. Do I really want to be involved in sports? And that's a question I got to ask myself. But it was interesting to even have those type of options. Now, granted, I still got my other gig. You know what I'm saying? I'm not assed out, in the words of Martin. But particular in this situation, I was reading all the comments and I was just like, I was cool until I read it. And I was like, fuck.
You got emotional? Yeah.
I felt something.
Nigga, you got it.
I was more so feeling like an uncertainty. All my confidence was kind of like weird because I was in a space of like, do I jump out on my own or do I wait and just join somebody? Now, I can't say that my phone ain't been ringing. Motherfuckers want me to get to work tomorrow. And that's a good thing. But I don't know. I don't know yet. And I think that's a good problem to have. But yeah, that shit hurt my stomach because it's just kind of like, I kind of want to do my own shit.
This is what I'm going to say to you, man. I think you are very uniquely equipped to do your own shit. Now, what is your own shit? That's the question.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do your own shit? Yes, I believe you could do it. Like you said, you're connected enough. You're enough of a name. Your day job, so to speak, also affords you more access and more insight and more background that most niggas trying to do their own shit, they don't have those privileges, right? But the only thing I would say is, like, you got to figure out what that shit is.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to rush it either.
Yeah.
But I also look at it like, I'm trying to get it before the start of the season. So that's my thing. Cause I really want to do NBA. And I'm like, all right, nigga. So yeah, that's all. But I really wanted to be very transparent, vulnerable, ask y'all questions because there's a lot of people dealing with layoffs. Unfortunately, it's this time of the year. A lot of people kind of lost trying to figure out what they can, you know, what they have to do. And I think it's super helpful for people to hear our words and understand that, you know, nothing for certain, nigga. Even bomb, nigga. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? We like this shit, but like, ain't nothing guaranteed. Like Amin said, you take what you take and you have to go into the mentality that you aren't your job, but you aren't going to do this shit forever. So,
right. Yeah. And I want to follow up like what I was saying too, because it's like, I obviously have bounced back from all of those situations. So it's like, even in the worst, like,
to your next spiral.
Right. But that's the thing, like, and somebody gave me this quote, you know, it's like, I don't know if it's a Bible quote or what you attribute it to, but it's like, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you look at life through the lens of that, I think actually Tom Hanks said it in like one of those roundtables. He was like talking to a bunch of actors and shit and talking about life and was like, that, you know, how you look at highs and lows. It's like when you high, it's like that's only going to last for so long. And when you low, mm-hmm. that's only going to last for so long. So like, you know, get your feelings out, do your shit. But, you know, who you are, like that's really going to dictate where you are. So just be a hustler, be a grinder and get on your shit.
Amen.
Amen. Get ended on that one because I don't know what else to say. Pastor J.
All right, that's going to do it for us here at Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. For Juju Gotti, for Trey Edwards, for Jason Madison, for John Gervais, I'm Amin Al-Hassan telling you to stay black, motherfucker.